Welcome everyone to this pre-recorded service at Kilrats RP Church. This has been recorded for use on Lord's Day, the 14th of June, for the morning service on that day. And before coming to worship, a few things by way of announcement that I want to mention. Each week brings little changes to the regulations and changes to things that are possible. And this next week is the first time that it would be possible for us to have a session meeting, an outdoor session meeting. And I would like to have a session meeting. I know that some of the elders will not be able to attend that meeting, but I would like to have a session meeting here at the church grounds Monday evening at 8 o'clock. Hopefully the weather will be dry. It is forecast at this moment to be dry at that particular time, but we'll see when the time comes. So that will be Monday evening at 8 o'clock, as many of the elders as are able to make it to gather together. We have to appoint one of our number to take part in the meeting of Synod, Synod meeting by internet, later this month. And then I want to have the opportunity to discuss whether there's anything else we do in terms of our worship services in addition to what we're already doing. We now have the opportunity to have a drive-in service if we wanted to do that. Maybe a few weeks down the road, we may be allowed to have an outdoor service with maybe a certain number of people at that. So if you can think about those possibilities, those are the things that I wanted in particular to discuss, and just generally in terms of what we can do in our in terms of regular church life. I also wanted to say then that I'd be happy to do any outdoor visits if you would like me to come to visit you, and we're able to do that outdoors. I'd be happy to do that. I'm not going to initiate that myself, but if you would like me to come, do get in touch, and we'll see what would be a suitable time, probably in the afternoon. Hopefully a warm and dry afternoon, it'll be possible to arrange that. This Lord's Day, after the evening service, would like to have the opportunity for a social gathering via Zoom. We've done that the last two Lord's Day evenings, and I'll announce that again for this week. That's about 8:30 on Sabbath evening. We'll have about 40 minutes just to chat and catch up and maybe mention things that we could pray about for each other or anyone else in the congregation. And then on Tuesday evening last week, I had a prayer time via Zoom at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening, and I would like to do the same again this Tuesday. And so those are a couple of things coming up. Sabbath evening, 8:30, and Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock. Now we come to worship God. Psalm 94 is the psalm that I've chosen for the beginning of this worship time. And the first six stanzas, Psalm 94, stanzas 1 through to 6. And the tune will be Austria 253. And Lewis Kennedy has kindly agreed to sing through the psalms so we can sing along with a voice. And it's Lewis's voice that you'll be listening to. So it's Psalm 94, and the tune is Austria 253, and we'll be singing the first six stanzas. And this psalm is looking to God, who is the God over all the earth, the judge of all the earth. It's looking to God that he would take notice of how the wicked are acting arrogantly and how they are crushing the people of God. And they're acting as if God doesn't see. And this is the thing that is concerning the psalmist. He says, "Lord, you are the God of vengeance." And then he says, "God of vengeance, O shine through. Rise up, O you judge of earth, and pay back to the proud their due." And so he's asking God to intervene, and God to act against those who are acting wickedly against the people of God. So Psalm 94, the first six stanzas, singing to the tune Austria 253. Let us worship God in the singing of this praise, and then afterwards I'll speak to God in prayer.
Lord, you are the God of vengeance, God of vengeance, O shine through. Rise up, O you judge of earth, and pay back to the proud their due. Lord, why should the wicked triumph?
Now let us speak to God in prayer. Lord in heaven, we look to you now in our worship. We come to you as the God who gave us the ability to hear, the God who made our eyes, and you're the God who hears us, and you're the God who sees us, and you're the God who knows all the thoughts of our hearts. And we bow before you, O Lord. We acknowledge that you are the one who is the judge of all the earth. And we thank you that you are a judge who is merciful. And we praise you, Lord, that many have experienced that great mercy of God, that there are many who can testify that you have not dealt with them according to their sins. But we acknowledge also, Lord, that you're a God who is just, and that you are a God who does punish sin. And we give thanks, O Lord, that you do punish sin. We thank you that there is justice, and we rejoice, O Lord, that it is your justice, and that your justice is perfect. We recognize that in this world there is flawed justice and inadequate justice. There is perversion of justice. But your justice is pure and good and true. And so we give thanks for the judge that you are. And we pray, O God, that you will help us to find mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for your help today in looking to your word, in our singing of your praises. We pray that you'd be pleased to speak to us, And remind us of your truth as we find it in the Scriptures. And we pray that you will forgive all our sins now and help us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that salvation that is found only in him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now we read again today in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. I'm reading from the New King James Version, the book of Habakkuk among the minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. In our Pew Bible, the page is 826 and 827. And I'm going to read the whole of chapter 2. Last Lord's Day, I went up as far as verse 1 of chapter 2, and I want to speak today on the verses from verse 2 through to the end of the chapter. So let us hear God's word, book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and reading the whole chapter. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what answer, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his. How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges. Will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And you will become their booty, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you, because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city, and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city, and of all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it, the molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of the maker of its mould should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And we end our scripture reading there at the close of that chapter. Now I'll say just a few words to the children, a few words about God and the different nations of the earth. At different times in the unfolding story of the Old Testament, God's people suffer at the hands of other nations. And you can maybe think of times when it was the Egyptians that were giving them a really, really hard time. And then at another stage, it was the Philistines that were troubling them. At another stage, it was the Syrians. And then there was another nation that sounded a bit like them. They were the Assyrians. And then there were the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. And some of the prophets that write in the books of the Old Testament, they write about these various other nations that were in and around Israel. And they tell about what God was going to do to those nations. They write about how God was going to punish those nations because of the great evil they had done against God's people. And that's the kind of thing that we have in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And in that book, God is telling us how he, in the future, was going to punish the sins of the Chaldeans or Babylonians. And that's what God was going to do. He announced it in advance many years before it came to pass. God said, this is what I am going to do. The Babylonians will be punished for all the evil they're doing against my people. And that's the way God reveals himself to us in the Old Testament. And God has not changed. God is no different today. God still sees everything that's happening in the world. He sees what's happening in China. He sees what's happening in India. He sees what's happening in the United States. He sees what's happening in Brazil, on whatever country you can think of. God sees, God knows, and in the nations of the earth, God allows leaders and nations that are evil to do what they want for a while, but not forever. Because sooner or later, God comes against the nations, and God comes against their leaders, and God punishes them for their sin. And in the days of Habakkuk, this nation of Babylon, it seemed to be very, very strong. And for many years, it seemed to be a very, very strong nation. It seemed as if those people could do whatever they wanted to the other nations around them. But Habakkuk is teaching us, because God told him so, that God had a day when all of that would change. And God would punish the Babylonians at the time that he had appointed. And so we can pray today in our world that God will be at work in the lands where many Christians are persecuted and where the government make it very, very hard for anyone to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We can pray that those believers in those lands, that they will live to see God coming to their rescue, that they would live to see different kind of times, and that God would hear the prayers that they are praying to him even today. God ruled over the nations in Old Testament times, and God is still the judge of all the nations today. Now we're going to come to God in our prayers now. And we can give thanks to God for his mercies. We can give thanks that in the past week there have been very few deaths here in Northern Ireland due to COVID-19. Praise God for that. We also give thanks for the easing of some of the restrictions that is of benefit to some people at least. And also give thanks for God's answer to prayer for Rebecca. Rebecca was studying hard for her exams, and she did very well on her exams. And just heard today that she has got a job starting on Monday. And so everything has moved very quickly. And we rejoice with Rebecca in that, and pray for her as she starts into her new work. Also remember Peter Barclay. Peter has been on furlough, and he's due to be starting back into his work on Monday. And so remember him in that. I was just reading some statistics the other day. The statistics came out for the abortions in England and Wales in 2019, a record high number of abortions, 209,519 abortions, and over 1,000 of those were folk from Northern Ireland going over to the mainland to have their abortion. And among those abortions, there were over 3,000 on the grounds of the child in the womb having a disability. There were 656 children with Down syndrome that were aborted, and this is what happens in the United Kingdom. That's what happened in 2019, and so as the abortion law is discussed at Westminster in terms of how it applies in Northern Ireland, we remember that this is the way things are in our land. Well, let's come to God now in prayer. Lord in heaven, we return thanks and praise to you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that in recent days we have been encouraged to hear of so few compared to earlier times who have been dying as a result of the coronavirus. We thank you also for the way in which our Stormont executive has been able to ease some of the restrictions. We thank you for how some people are able to meet up with others who weren't able to do so before. We thank you for the opening, or the possibility of opening for shops. And we praise you, Lord, for these things. And we continue to pray for our politicians. We ask that you'll help them as they assess the situation. We pray for them at Stormont as the executive meets every Monday and Thursday, and as they review things. And we pray that they will be able to make good and wise decisions. And we ask, O Lord, that you will be at work also at Westminster. We thank you for those who will be have the opportunity there to speak against the abortion regulations that are due to be finalized for Northern Ireland. And we pray that in your mercy, O Lord, that there will be a hearing of what is being said. And we ask that you be pleased to move hearts, O Lord, and that you would raise up a desire among our political leaders to save lives rather than take lives. We thank you, Lord, for the good news that Rebecca has had. We thank you for helping her in her studies throughout her course. Thank you that she did so well in her exams or her assessment at the end of it all, and for provision of a job. And we thank you, Lord, that this has come so quickly at a time when there aren't many jobs on the go. And we praise you for your great goodness and faithfulness. Be with Rebecca and help her as she starts into that new work on Monday. And we pray that you will provide for her in that and help her as she adjusts. We do give thanks for the experience that she had in her year out working at Ballyrasheen, and that she learned there what it's what to expect. And so, Lord, we pray for her, bless her in her new position. Help her, O Lord, to honor you in that. And we pray that she will prove to be a blessing to others. Pray for Peter as he is due to start back into his work. And we pray that he'll be able to do that. Pray that you'll keep him safe there. We ask, Lord, for your mercy towards those in our congregation who are not well at present. Pray for some who are sick, for some who are recovering after illness or injury. And we ask, Lord, that you will draw near to each one, that they will know your peace and your presence. And we pray that you will give them the strength that they need for these days, and that you be pleased to grant healing and progress that they will know better days. I want to pray for William and Margaret's daughter-in-law, Leah, over in Cardiff. We pray for her with a baby due within the next few weeks. And we just pray for your mercies towards Alistair and Leah. And we pray that all will go well with the final days of pregnancy. And we pray for a safe birth, and that mother and child will be well. We pray for our missionaries. We ask for encouragements in the work in Nantes. Thank you that they are able to meet together in small numbers, and we pray for encouragements as they do so. We pray for the work in Spain. We give thanks, Lord, for all that's happened in this first year of the Barracals being in Spain, and we pray for them as they seek to serve you there. We pray also for the work in Galway, and we pray, O Lord, that you will help the people in the fellowship there. We pray that you will bless their witness, and we pray that you will keep them well, and we pray that they will be able to remain united, and we ask that as restrictions are lifted, that they will be able to have contact with one another again. Lord, we pray that you will help us as we think about your word, as we think about the world that we live in. And we pray that you will guide us through your truth and help us to believe the things that we need to believe for the times that you have placed us in. Hear our prayers now, and we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to God's word as we read it there in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 2 through to 20. So far in looking at the book of Habakkuk, we've seen how the prophet cries out to the Lord in distress and in frustration. He sees in his own land, the land of Judah, he sees much violence and much lawlessness. And he wants God to do something about it. And he's asking God why he's doing nothing. And he receives the answer from the Lord that the Lord is already doing something about it. He is raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, and they are going to serve as God's agents of punishment. Well, Habakkuk accepts that God is going to do something. He can't argue against that, but he goes on to question God as to how God can be just in using a nation like the Chaldeans or Babylonians to be the nation that punishes Judah. And at the beginning of chapter 2, we left Habakkuk last week in his watchtower. He has set himself on the rampart. He is going to watch and he is going to wait, and he's going to listen to what God is going to say and how God is going to correct him in his understanding. And so today we look at the answer that Habakkuk gets. And the first thing that we see in God's answer is that he is telling Habakkuk to wait for God's time. The answer to Habakkuk's question was not just to be one that was for his ears. It was something that he's told to write down with a view to others being able to hear what God says to him. So he's told, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And Habakkuk is then told what God is, he's told that what God is about to tell him is something that he will have to wait for. It's not something that's going to happen straight away. God hadn't yet sent the Babylonians against Judah. And Habakkuk was going to have to wait for the Babylonians to do their work against Judah before God would then come against the Babylonians. So God is telling Habakkuk about what will take place in the future. And it was going to be probably beyond the lifetime of Habakkuk that God was going to do these things. But God knew what he was going to do, and God knew when he was going to do it. And it is only God who knows for sure what is going to take place in the future. We see that so clearly in these days that us human beings, we're not able to predict the future. And you have all the scientists in their discussions about the coronavirus, and they don't know, and they have different opinions as to the way things might go. It is only God who knows for sure what the future holds. God is the sole author of history. And God knew exactly what the future held for the Babylonians. That's who Habakkuk has asked about. And that's who God is speaking to him about. Verse 3, God says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will come at its God-appointed time. And we need to remember today that God has his appointed time for everything. Everything happens at God's appointed time. It's good to remember that in days of COVID-19. We wait and we wonder, and each time there's new measures announced, we're wondering what's going to be included and what's going to change, and we have to believe that it is God who appoints the times and the seasons. God knows. And God decrees. Now, the Lord doesn't mention the Babylonians by name. He doesn't need to, because that's who Habakkuk has been asking him about. But the fact that they're not named as such indicates that the same kind of thing that God speaks of here for the Babylonians applies to all others who will be like the Babylonians. And what were the Babylonians like? Well, they're described in verses 4 and 5. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man. And he doesn't stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell. and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. The Babylonians, the Chaldeans, they were puffed up with their own self-importance. They were a proud people, and they strutted about in their pride, and they liked to have it seen that they were proud of themselves and their achievements. And that came from the top down. You see it in the attitude of their greatest leader, King Nebuchadnezzar. Think of that time we're told of in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 4. And there's Nebuchadnezzar, and he's walking around in his pride, and he's surveying his city. And he says, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Daniel 4, verse 30. Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself, and the Babylonians were full of themselves. They were proud, and they were also arrogant and greedy. They could never get enough of the riches of the nations that they steamrollered over. And what is spoken of in the book of Ecclesiastes was true of the Babylonians. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. "Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income." And the Babylonians, they were always increasing in wealth, but they were never satisfied. They were never at rest. They were always wanting to capture more and bring it back to their city for themselves. And in the midst of that restlessness, and in the midst of that wealth, they resorted to consuming lots of wine. Start of verse 5, it says, "He transgresses by wine." And that was one thing that was characteristic of the Babylonians. Verse 4, at the end of the verse, it speaks of the opposite of what the Babylonians were. It says there, "But the just shall live by his faith." Now, those words of Habakkuk are quoted in three of the books of the New Testament. You'll find them in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews. And these were words that God used greatly in the conversion of Martin Luther. And Luther saw in these words the truth that it is by faith that we can be righteous in God's eyes and not by our own works. Well, here in Habakkuk, the words probably constitute a call to Habakkuk to base his life on what God is telling him and not upon what he sees happening in the world. Habakkuk was not to be like the Babylonians. The Babylonians lived in unbelief, but Habakkuk was to live by faith, and he was to wait on his God. So here at the start of this section, Habakkuk is being taught that he needs to wait for God's time. God will deal with the Babylonians, but he will do it at his time and no one else's time. And that can be frustrating in life, because often God's time isn't our time, and we're in more of a hurry than God is. And there were many people who had been very frustrated in the decades when the Babylonians were all conquering. When is God going to act? Well, God was going to act, and God had set the time. So, first thing is that Habakkuk was taught to wait for God's time. Well, then, in the second place, I want to speak about five woes. And the major part of Habakkuk chapter 2 is composed of what we can call five woes. The word woe is found on five different occasions. It's there in the middle of verse 6. And then it's there at the start of verse 9. It's there at the start of verse 12. It's at the start of verse 15. And it's at the start of verse 19. And each one of these woes speaks of the coming punishment of God upon the Babylonians, and it's coming because of the way they were conducting themselves. And one day justice will come for the Babylonians. Habakkuk asked the question in the last verse of chapter 1. He said, "Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity?" And God's answer is no. An end to this will come. So I want to quickly go through these various accusations that are brought against the Babylonians and the judgment of God against them in these five woes. The first woe is in verses 6 through to 8. And God is speaking here about how those who plunder will themselves be plundered. And the Babylonians were guilty of gathering the wealth of others for themselves. And they had plundered many nations. That's what it says at the start of verse 8. God says, "Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you." The Babylonians were very greedy. They had a lust for more and more wealth. And that's something that's evident across the earth in many nations today. Sometimes you get large nations and they exploit the smaller nations, and they help them in little ways, but they do it in order to get a great deal of wealth for themselves. You see it when there's an interest in the nations that have oil reserves or gold reserves or whatever it is. Those are the kind of countries that the big nations are wanting to help with their infrastructure projects and so on. There is exploitation of the little people by the big people, and it happens in all sorts of situations. Well, God says that those sins will come back to haunt them. They won't get away with this. God has seen, and God will act against them. It will all come to a sudden end. And God had appointed when that end would be. And so it is. God sees all that's happening in the world, and God has appointed a time for judgment. Those who are guilty of the same kind of sins as the Babylonians, God will deal with them also. Second woe is in verses 9 to 11. And God talks here about how the Babylonians, they had sought security and wealth through unjust gain. And God says, "Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high." And they wanted to know security, and they wanted to be at peace. And they wanted to know prosperity. And God says that they will be punished for the kind of things that they've done along those lines. And they have built their defenses. God says in verse 11 that the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. And the very things that they have put up will be the things that God will use to work against them. The third woe is in verses 12 to 14, and it speaks about the Babylonians' ruthless pursuit of fame and glory. And God accuses them of building their city by iniquity. And God declares that it will not last. It will prove instead to be fuel for the fire. And God says it's not the glory of Babylon that is going to be spoken of throughout the world. You seek to set up this great city of yours. God says it's not going to last. No more than the Tower of Babel lasted will the mighty Babylon last. But there is a kingdom that will last. And in verse 14, the Lord says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Babylonians were ruthless in their pursuit of their own fame and glory. But it is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's God's name that will be exalted on high. He is the one who will be remembered forever and ever, not the Babylonians. Fourth woe is in verses 15 to 17, and it speaks about their humiliating treatment of others. Babylon is condemned for the shameful way by which she treated her neighbors. She is spoken of as being guilty of getting them drunk in order to expose their nakedness. And God says that she will find that she herself will be exposed. Verse 16, you are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. In our world today, there are people who are exploited and humiliated and degraded, and people are plied with drink, and they end up being recruited as sex slaves and so on, and as huge business in different parts of the world. And God sees all of that. And as with the Babylonians, those who give themselves to that kind of thing, they will be found out, they will be exposed, and they will be humiliated. Final woe is in verse... It's dealt with in verses 18 and 19, and it speaks about futile and foolish idolatry. The Babylonians were big into their idols. They were guilty of trusting in useless idols. Useless idols that their own hands had made. Some of them were huge, big idols. And like the one that Daniel's friends were to bow down to. But they were things that had no breath in them, things that could give them no help. And God saw that that's where their trust and their hope was. And he declares the coming judgment of God against those who worship futile and foolish idols. And so here in these five woes, where God is saying this is the way things will be, Habakkuk is being assured that God will not in any way overlook the sins of the Babylonians. The people of Judah will be brought to account, but the Babylonians will also be brought to account. The greatness of Babylon would be short-lived, and it would come to a sudden end. We could say that their day would come. The day of the Lord. God acting in justice against them. Their day would come. And from what we know from elsewhere in the Word of God, this is exactly what took place. We see it most clearly of all in the book of Daniel, chapter 5 of Daniel. And there in that chapter, that's the end of the Babylonians. That's the end of their kingdom. King Belshazzar has that drunken feast, and he calls for the gold goblet stolen from the Jerusalem temple. Verse 4, it says, as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. They praised their useless idols. And then suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the wall. And the writing was on the wall for Babylon. That's where that phrase comes from. The writing was on the wall. And Daniel, the servant of the Lord, is called, and he interprets the words. He tells Belshazzar what they mean. God has numbered the days of your reign, and he has brought it to an end. It's over. You have been weighed in the scales, and you have been found wanting, you and your kingdom. And your kingdom is divided. It's gone, and it's given to others, to the Medes and the Persians. We're told that that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. That was the end of the Babylonians. That was it. Kingdom gone. God's five woes. God says, these things are coming. He says, Habakkuk, you'll have to wait. The time is appointed, but the time came. Probably about 70 years after Habakkuk wrote his words. 539 AD was the end of the Babylonians, but it was the end of the Babylonians. And God today is still the judge of all the earth, and God can bring great nations to a sudden end. The third thing I want to see just in the last verse of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk teaches us something there. God teaches us through Habakkuk about being silent before God. In verses 18 and 19, we learn about the idols of the Babylonians, the false gods of the Babylonians. And then in verse 20, we're told about the true God. And it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And here Habakkuk is assured that the reality of things is very different from what he will see with his eyes. God has not gone into retirement. God had not lost his grip upon the world. The Babylonians, although they would seem all-powerful, they were under God's control. And they would serve the purposes of God. And then they would be called to account. And with all the rest of the world, they would have to fall silent before the Lord to hear his verdict upon them. The holy temple that is spoken of here is not the temple in Jerusalem. The people of Judah had put their trust in that temple. Earlier in their history, they had put their trust in the Ark of the Covenant. But God doesn't live in temples made by hands. And what is referred to here in verse 20 is what is spoken of in Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. And this verse is telling us that God is still in his place. God is still in his rightful place. God rules from the throne of his heavenly temple. And this is what we are called upon to believe all the days of our lives, that our God is in charge. And that
as the Babylonians in their time would have to give account to God, so will all the nations of the earth today. Now, we cannot see God upon his throne. We cannot see the heavenly temple. And so we must live by faith and not by sight. And in these closing words in verse 20 in chapter 2, there is instruction for Habakkuk. Habakkuk has raised his objections. He has asked his questions. And God has answered his questions. And now it was time for Habakkuk to be quiet. And that's the same kind of thing that we get in the book of Job. Job had all his questions. He questioned God, and then after God had spoken to Job, Job says in chapter 40, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." And there comes a time when it is right for us to be silent and to marvel at the reality of the God who has always existed and the God who will always be there, ruling over. And we will have departed from this earth, and we will have had our little day and our little spell here in this world, and the Lord will still be in his holy temple on his heavenly throne. And it's good for us to be silent before him. It is his words that we need to hear, and not our own. Sometimes we're so busy talking ourselves, and we're so busy listening to other things that we're not really hearing. And we need to be silent. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Maybe that's the thing you need to do more than anything else this day, is to be silent before God. To stop your talking and let him speak. That's what Habakkuk needed to do. God spoke, and Habakkuk needed to believe every word that God spoke. And that was enough. The word of God will be enough. God's word is sufficient. God's word is the final word. Amen. I referred to Psalm 11 there towards the end of the sermon, and that's the psalm I've chosen for our closing item of praise. Psalm 11, singing the whole of this psalm, those six stanzas. The tune is St. Agnes Durham, number 136. And the second half there, verse 3, it says, "The Lord is in his holy house, his throne in heaven high. His eyes do see, his eyelids test the sons of men. He tests both good and bad. Him who delights in violence, he detests. Upon the wicked he'll rain snares. They'll fire and brimstone see. He'll blast them with a scorching wind. This is their destiny. For righteous is the Lord Most High, and he loves righteousness. And everyone who upright is will look upon his face." God will come against the wicked in his judgment, but God is a God of mercy, and he gives righteousness in Jesus Christ. And the Lord today is in his holy house. He's on his throne in heaven high. Psalm 11, the whole of the psalm, the tune St. Agnes Durham 136, and after the singing of this portion of praise, I close the service in the benediction.
My trust is ever in the Lord.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.